At the height of the Enlightenment, philosopher Étienne Bonnot de Condillac observed how every science requires a special language, because every science has its own ideas. Although de Condillac's main research wasn't on language, it mainly focused on the senses, he considered language to be a vehicle to convey feelings and emotions. Let's just say that his ideas didn't have a major effect on linguistics. However, he did bring up a good idea about jargon, or the special language, which is the topic of this episode of Parlez, or We'll Speak in French. I'm Kendall Fahey, and today we're diving into the part of a language that you seem to need to know the right words just to get in the front door. Jargon, throughout history, can be pretty hard to follow, although it does exist. English language and literature professor at Indiana University Bloomington, Michael Adams, says that jargon, and slang for that matter, are hard to follow throughout history, because it wasn't written down until printing became popular.
Well, it's because English was a lot less written than it was spoken then. I mean, since mass education and printing and all of that, and mass communication now, we've got written words all around us all of the time. But most people in England in the Middle Ages were illiterate. And so what they were saying never found its way into manuscripts. And the people who were writing the manuscripts often weren't interested in what everyday people were saying. So there's a real disconnect between the spoken language of the time and the literary language of the time.
But what is the difference between jargon and slang?
Slang's just the non-standard language we use to be, you know, just to be who we are. And it's not connected to a specific activity or, you know, a job or a profession or something like that. And slang is language that we can use in an easygoing way that identifies us as belonging to one group rather than another group. Jargon could be very creative, too. You know, it's got a slanginess to it in some instances, and then in other instances it's very, it's programmatic or formulaic. For instance, UPS people have a huge jargon of alphabetisms and acronyms. You have to know what that means. And when they come to your door with that handheld device and they're punching buttons and you don't know what they're saying to the computer through that machine about how they're delivering the package or what actions they've taken, but they have a jargon that they use to record all of those official actions. And slang is different from that because slang is just friendly, companionable language we use in everyday life, but not necessarily in work.
The best thing about jargon, in my opinion, is that it's everywhere. Everyone experiences it through their work or professions or hobbies. It impacts our daily life in a unique and personal sort of way, because no experience with jargon is the same for each person.
Most of us are involved in something that's got a jargon. If you're a skateboarder, if that's your your avocation, you don't get paid for doing it, but you do it because it's a lot of fun and you're in a group of skateboarders, you talk about skateboarding with terms that skateboarders know. And people who are outside of skateboarding don't know those terms and probably, frankly, don't care about them either because it's not the thing they do.
That being said, it can connect and disconnect people at the same time. Jargon can connect groups of people through a common language. It can help communicate complex ideas in a few simple words. But it can also leave people out. If someone doesn't know what a group is saying, it can be a factor of isolation and distancing.
Every line you draw, characterize a group, is going to have people who are outsiders as well as people who are insiders to the language.
I'm Kendall Fahey with Parlez, or We'll Speak in French. For more stories like this, visit whje.com.